Welcome to another episode of Profiles in Leadership interview series. I am your host, Steve Anderson, and thank you to VGM Advantage for sponsoring this series. Today's guest is Alicia Valavanis, who is currently the president and general manager of the Seattle Storm. In this role, she oversees all Storm business and basketball operations, in addition to Force 10 sports management. In her first WNBA draft as general manager, the Storm used its number one overall pick to select guard Jewel Lloyd, who went on to win Rookie of the Year. Seattle selected forward Brenna Stewart in the next year, adding the only player to ever win three consecutive APA Player of the Year awards in college. A native of Valparaiso, Indiana, she came to the Storm with a strong involvement in women's basketball, both as a former player and a coach. Valavanis joined the Storm in 2014 from the University of California, Berkeley, where she was an assistant athletics director of development. She played 4 years of basketball for the Wildcats, finishing her career as the program's all-time leader in three-pointers. She was recently named a 2016 CSU Chico Distinguished Alumni. Valavanis was named a 2017 Outstanding Voice honoree by the Puget Sound Business Journal, given to Seattle business leaders that promote equality, inclusion, and diversity. She was also awarded the 2016 Washington Leadership Excellence Award from the Washington Diversity Council. Well, thanks, Alicia, for being here today. Really looking forward to this interview. Your resume is pretty impressive. You've been busy, I can say. The Storm this last season had a very exciting team, but I suspect you probably didn't reach your goals as an organization. So what can we expect for this next season?
I mean, well said. You know, I think it was exciting to make the playoffs, but we didn't reach our ultimate goal, and we were constantly striving for and aiming to cut down nets. So as we move forward, we're continuing to look at pieces that we need on the court. We have a new head coach in place, Dan Hughes. Really excited to have him as part of the Storm family, and looking forward to kind of piecing together the final roster spots to make a run for this.
Yeah, that's great. So share with us your journey, you know, how you came from a small town in Indiana to one of the most prestigious positions in women's professional sports. It's pretty impressive.
Thank you. You know, I'm a Hoosier, and before you can walk,
you got to play ball.
They throw you that ball.
Yeah, exactly.
So growing up, basketball was a part of life, and it was something that really kind of helped shape my journey. I have an identical twin sister.
Really?
Yes.
I'm married to an identical twin, so
really?
I understand that world.
Good
so,
for you.
Yeah.
I actually have identical twin sisters as well, but we won't get into all of that.
Wow.
I'm one of six, two sets of identical twin girls. Yeah.
Really?
Wild.
Okay.
So the moral of that story is my mother is literally a superhero.
I guess so. Yes.
But basketball's been a part of the journey from the beginning. So
does your sister play as well?
She did. We were the backcourt at Chico State.
She
was a point guard. I was a shooting guard.
That's awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But really, sports and basketball specifically kind of shaped our journey. And so we both played. And then both through that opportunity kind of developed into leaders through that space. She now runs a nonprofit community foundation in Northern California. But yeah, basketball's been kind of a central point and North Star for both of us.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's great. When did you decide that you wanted to make the move from being a basketball coach on the court to behind the desk in the front office, so to speak, in administration? So how do you make that change?
It was a hard move. I love the basketball piece of it, the team piece of it. But you know, the opportunity to work with the University of the Pacific, a mid-major Division I.
Right.
And as I'm sure you know, at that level, you have exposure across different, you know, areas of the business.
Right.
So as an associate head coach, I was working in marketing. I was working in, you know, development. And so it really kind of exposed me to different areas of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that point that I said, you know, I really would like to do a little bit more off the court.
Mm-hmm.
And had a really unique opportunity to go to the Golden State Warriors. Get some exposure at, you know, the professional level on the men's side. And I think that was when I kind of solidified my, this is it. I'm interested in going the professional sports route here.
Yeah. I've always been intrigued. So in your position now as general manager and president, so how much effect would you say do you have on that team and that coach? I mean, is it a real hands-on thing, or is it more the just the global run and the business side of things?
Well, I think this one's unique in that my background's in coaching.
Yeah.
So the model for the WNBA, most GMs are standalone positions. Mm-hmm. Some are coaches. Very few are presidents.
Okay.
Because of my background, I had specific interest. The ownership group and I had conversations around, does this make sense? And it did based on my background. So the head coach does report to me, but in terms of the player decisions, I mean, ultimately, I have an opportunity to develop the roster, mm-hmm. manage the cap, all of that. So pretty hands-on.
Yeah, that's great. Great. Yeah. So you were the mastermind behind getting Breanna Stewart here, right?
Well, there was some luck involved in that as well, but yeah. Yes, absolutely.
She's an amazing player.
She's the future of the Seattle Storm.
Yeah, yeah.
No question.
Yeah, it's great. You know what I love about the women's game, and you know, I went to a couple games this year, was just the team play that's involved.
Yeah.
And you know, and you look on the men's side, and I mean, maybe the Golden State Warriors, but beyond that, I question whether they play as a team. But the women seem to really play as a team. So, why the difference?
You know, I think when you look at the men's game, it's a lot of one-on-one.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely a part of the women's game, but just kind of inherently. The way the game has developed, it's a team sport on the women's side of it. You know, there's that high pick and roll on the men's side.
Yeah.
If a game's coming down to it, you're going to see a high pick at the top of the key, and you're going to see, you know, a one-on-one. That certainly happens in the women's game, but you're going to see assists. You're going to see ball movement.
Right.
You're going to see some of that traditional basketball that I think a lot of people respect.
Yeah.
A little differently than on the men's side, that's really exploiting just athleticism and kind of one-on-one basketball.
Yeah. Do you think it takes a different skill set to be a leader in this administrative role than versus the coach? So what is the difference?
Great question. I love the opportunity to talk about sports and leadership, because at the end of the day, it's incredibly analogous. How you build a team on the court and how you build a front office, or how you build any team in any business in any field, is really the same principles. Comes down to people.
Yeah.
Comes down to relationships. Really top performing teams, I mean, it comes down to trust, mm-hmm. comes down to communication. Baseline, you have to be talented.
Yeah.
I mean, only 144 women have the opportunity to play in the WNBA. They're the best in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that X factor, whether it's on the court or off the court, that mm-hmm. X factor is team.
Yeah.
That X factor is trust. Buy-in. Do you know your role? Is your role valued? Whether you're at the top of the org chart, middle of the org chart, whether you are a starter or the 11th mm-hmm. player off the bench.
Yeah.
I have found it to be really challenging and exciting to look at building a team on the court and building a front office,
yeah.
and really how analogous the whole thing is.
So in the front office, did you bring in a team and build it from kind of your team, or was there a team there already that you had to figure out how to lead?
Well, it's both,
okay.
both pieces. There were really talented people in place that, you know, through any transition, there's going to be kind of that learning, is this the right fit? Are we moving mm-hmm. in the same direction? And a lot of folks have stayed, and it's the right fit. And then certainly building your own team as well as you go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been both, and it's been interesting to piece that together.
What has been the most challenging part of your role as president and general manager of this WNBA team?
You know, I think just the balancing the different priorities. Certainly as the GM, my focus is on, you know, recruiting and scouting and really understanding, you know, what we need on the court. And it's a massive scope in
mm-hmm.
terms of really just diving in on the film and working with the head coach and with the coaching staff on how we can actually contend for championships against
mm-hmm.
teams like Minnesota and Los Angeles. On the business side, the WNBA is a difficult business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are still, as a league, we're 20 years in, and we're in our 21st season. Successful, but still there's a long way to go.
Right.
You know, we're hoping to be in more markets and have more visibility and more attendance and more kind of awareness around the league. And so the challenges on the business side are there. And
mm-hmm.
so for me, I think the pivot between, you know, time and energy on the court and time and energy off the court, if you will,
right.
is probably the greatest challenge, and it's just a matter of the priorities at different
times.
So
is the success of the different teams, is it more people in the seats, or is it more the TV contracts, or what makes it fly?
I mean, I think all of those metrics are going to ultimately be kind of the measure of success, but mm-hmm. are we growing from an attendance standpoint?
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's butts in seats or actual viewers on television.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's no question that we need to continue to see how we're operating in different markets and community activation and support. I mean, one of the beautiful things about the WNBA is kind of the mission underneath the product. It's professional sports,
mm-hmm.
but all markets that you talk to around the WNBA will talk to you about the community activation.
Yeah.
And whether it's a marquee partner, you know, on the jersey, or, you know, court naming rights, all of those partnerships are deeply, deeply rooted in community activation and
yeah.
impacting kids.
And how does Seattle rank and towards other cities in the league? Are they supportive?
Oh my God, yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes, we're at the very top.
Okay, great.
We have an incredible fan base,
mm-hmm.
a long history here. Long before me, they were winning championships.
Yeah.
So we need to get to work and bring another one back. That's
yeah.
definitely the goal. But
yeah.
In terms of support, whether it's community support, fan support, partners, and candidly, the other teams.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the job just a couple of weeks, and I heard from the presidents of the other teams. It
yeah.
was pretty remarkable as I
yeah.
talked to other peers and as I think about other markets. I mean, Seahawks, Sounders, Mariners, Reign. I mean, we're a special sports city here in
That's
Seattle.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm curious, how early in a career of a young woman are you aware of that talent? I mean, do you know that, you know, in high school or even before, that they're on this track to possibly be a future WNBA player? Or is it just in college that you become aware of them?
You know, I think it's unique player to player. There
mm-hmm.
are certain players that as early as high school,
yeah.
it's like, keep an eye out on,
mm-hmm.
you know, talk to any mother or father.
Oh,
tell
yeah.
you, even in second grade,
well,
like, I've got a future
well,
WNBA
that's a problem,
player.
Right? There'd be like 3 million NBA,
exactly.
WNBA players, right?
But I think, you know, there are unique cases when you can identify pretty early on that you've got somebody special that might make it. For the most part, we're looking at the collegiate game and we're looking at the global game.
Yeah.
So, you know, of the 144 players, of the 12 that'll enter from the first round this season, most will come from the college space, and that's
yeah.
where we're doing our heavy kind of scouting.
Yeah. And is it true that a lot of the women play, you know, in other parts of the world in the off season to, you know, because they just don't make the kind of money that
sure.
that they can take that time off, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the economic model is such that they need to play overseas to make this kind of a full-time job. I just was with the league folks, and we were looking at numbers and where players were, and, you know, 90 of the 144 are currently playing overseas,
yeah.
all over the globe, which is fun when you think about kind of the globalization of the game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, our players are all over,
it spreads
actually
it,
playing.
Yeah.
Most
yeah.
of their year is overseas, so... it's an absolute critical factor in terms of.
But what amazes me is you take somebody like Sue Bird, who's been a great player in Seattle for a long time, and the amount of games that she plays here for the Storm,
yeah.
and then the amount of games that she plays, I think it was Russia is where
yep,
she played.
She was.
From a physical therapist standpoint, it's like, how does that body keep up? I mean, and
well,
she's been doing
she,
it for 20 years,
and
right?
Sue, I mean, there's
it's
no
like
question
unbelievable.
Sue's an anomaly.
Yeah.
Now, I think what you're speaking to is what we always talk about. It's a pretty impressive reality that these women don't have an off season.
Yeah.
You think about any other major, you know, professional sports organization,
mm-hmm.
and they take time off.
Yeah.
Our women oftentimes finishing up a season, come into training camp, either right in the beginning of training camp or late to training camp, we start games, and then right when season closes, within days, they're going somewhere else on the globe to start.
Yeah.
So the impact on their bodies is unbelievable.
Yeah,
it is
crazy.
It really just kind of speaks to the importance of the entire high performance kind of plan. Nutrition,
yeah.
all the way through physical therapy is a huge piece of what we do.
Yeah.
So
they have to pay attention. Yes.
Yeah. Sue's a special one. She's the oldest player in the WNBA and at the top of her game. Not sure that everyone can kind of, you know, hope for that, but they play a lot. It's hard on their bodies.
She's impressive. What does it get you pumped and get you up every morning and thrive in your role that you have with the Storm?
The opportunity to actually use sport to do good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's what's pretty special about the WNBA and professional women's sports is, you know, we're using sport as a vehicle for change, social change. I mean, the driving factor is equality, inclusion, diversity. I mean, these are the byproducts of women playing professional sports.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm pumped every day to wake up and have this really unique opportunity to work with just professional athletes and in sports and in this business and for a city that values, has the same values,
mm-hmm.
you know, around inclusion and diversity. But that's what motivates me.
Well, that's awesome. Do you think that women have different challenges than men do in high-level executive roles in organizations like what you're working in? What are the challenges that women have that are
unique
different
to women?
Yeah.
I mean, I think all leaders have different challenges. I generally talk about what we are inherently in terms of strength. So I would say men and women have different inherent strengths. And
mm-hmm.
that's why it takes all of us if we're really going to rise and if we're
right.
really going to make a change.
It's a diversity issue.
Yeah.
And
I think diversity in terms of gender, diversity in terms of thought, experience, race,
mm-hmm.
all things. And I think, yeah, sure, we all have different challenges, you know, in
mm-hmm.
your seat. They're
mm-hmm.
unique challenges to who you are based on your experience and your journey and your climb. For me, it's less about the gender piece, although I think it's important for us to talk about it. And it's more significant to talk about what we bring to the table and why it's so critical that there's diversity.
Yeah, that's a great way to. How would you describe your leadership style? If I were to say to you, what is your style? How would you describe
my
it?
My style is team.
Okay.
My style is team, and what I mean by that is everything we do at the center point of that is going to be team. So we want people that are all in. I want to know, you know, your strengths and what you bring to the table, and then I want to absolutely understand how you highlight and lift up his strengths and her strengths and what she brings to the table. And when you need the ball, you need to have the ball. We
mm-hmm.
need to make sure you get it. And
yeah.
when he needs the ball, pass the ball.
Yeah.
And highlight, you know, and you should be the first one, you know, clapping and cheering on his made 3-point shot, you know, to kill the analogy. But my style around leadership is that we will rise if we lift each other up, and that you winning doesn't mean I lose.
Yeah.
You winning means awesome, good for you, I can win too. Like, let's all win, and let's build a team where we're supporting each other, we're lifting each other up, where we can double down on your strengths, but
mm-hmm.
you can actually, and I can say, look, that's actually not my area of expertise.
Right.
You know, you should have the ball. Let's go.
But what you're describing is the holy grail of teams working as like a well-oiled machine, right?
Right.
So how come we have so much trouble? I think businesses struggle with this. I think it's because there's just too much competition trying to get to the top, or if I help you, that then I don't get the rah-rah, or, you know, why do you think teams struggle with this? Yeah.
You are asking the question. I think we get way too caught up in this notion that if he wins or she wins, that means I lose.
Yeah.
Instead of recognizing that we can completely change the game, the paradigm can completely shift if we recognize that you can win and so can I.
Yeah.
And I think the nature of business, it's competitive. I mean, we're fighting for people's money. You know, we're trying to, it's a competitive space. But what we know to be true about teams, and it doesn't matter if it's sports, it doesn't matter if it's a Fortune 500 company, it doesn't matter if it's a startup, two
mm-hmm.
people grinding it out, trying to figure out how to, you know, grow a business. The answer is team.
Yeah.
It's going to be the people. Even IT and heavy technology-driven products, it's the people
still
behind the business.
Yeah.
And it's relationships. And, I mean, I think that this is a major question, and we have a narrative out there that is women bring other women down. No, they don't. That's an old narrative. That's an old story when there was only one woman that had a chance to be at the top of the org chart. That's old.
Yeah.
Women lift women. Men lift women. At the end of the day, you know, and men lift men, all of these things. Women lift men. At the end of the day, if you want to be a part of a high-functioning team, you have to perform as a team. And that means everybody's equal.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great way to describe it. So professional sports is such a high-stakes game for both men and women. For only a few can play, you know, as a pro more than just a few years.
Sure.
So how do you take care of your players so that they are treated as young women trying to realize a dream, yet you have to have a team that wins to stay competitive? That's got to be a challenge.
Yeah, that is a challenge. And I think it comes down to who are they as human beings holistically. So we have goals. We have goals on the basketball court. What are their goals off the court? I think you're constantly forced to focus on how you want to run a business, and there's an end goal of winning championships. Seattle deserves that. We have a professional team. Our ownership group deserves that. With that said, we also want to develop these women in such a way that they have other opportunities.
Yeah.
Because you're right. In a moment, as you know, from your background, in a moment, playing can end.
Can end, so yeah.
And, you know, these women have a lot of interests, as do all the professional athletes in other areas. And
so
how are
do you
developing that?
Do you have programs or counseling or something to discuss and help them discover those other things besides basketball when
we certainly try to, and how we do that is we look at the business side and we talk to our players. What are your interests?
Mm-hmm.
So we have players specifically interested in supporting certain partnerships. Seattle Children's, for example, we have players very interested in that. We have other players that are really motivated in terms of the social change space.
Yeah.
And if you've seen some stories on our players, Brianna Stewart's one of them,
really
in front on a lot of social change issues.
Yeah.
Sue is also in the front in those areas. And so we want to, as an organization, make sure that we put the weight of what we're doing behind their individual brands and supporting their growth in that area.
So they can be stars in other ways. Yeah.
And really so that they can have the impact they're hoping to have.
Yeah, that's great. So we talked about this a little bit, but just to dig into it further, diversity in business is often discussed, as we already have. Do you feel like the WNBA does a better job than the rest of the business world in relation to gender, race, and opportunities in leadership positions? Because we know in the corporate world we hear so much that they're not as good at it. So how does the WNBA match up?
Well, I think your question kind of gets to the core of why we exist.
Mm-hmm.
So do we do it better? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Do we do it? Absolutely, because it's who we are. So we are a league that came from and has originated through this kind of concept of women playing professional sports at the highest level, but what does it demonstrate? What does it illustrate? There's a need for diversity, inclusion, equality. The conversation is kind of inherent to the actual platform.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure if we're doing it better. I think, you know, depending on what the metrics are, I think we started there, and so we've been there. Our players have taken a stand on social justice issues.
Mm-hmm.
Long before it was relevant to do so.
Yeah.
Our ownership group, our league, has actually been in the front of issues before the rest of the country caught up, and that's because that's who we are as a league.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that that's a pretty special thing about the WNBA.
Yeah, and just taking that further, I'm intrigued when, so you have a new coach, you said, who's a male, and leading a team of women, and is there sometimes resistance to that, or is that just the best person for the best job and gender doesn't come into play with that?
I think we need to be intentional around our choices to lift others, our choices, our business choices. I mean, I do often talk to groups around the impact and the importance of taking a shot on a young woman, you know, that needs the shot just to get her foot in the door, these types of things. With that said, when it comes down to coaching a WNBA team, we were looking for the most talented individual that fit exactly where we are, where we're going.
Right.
And there was no question. I mean, Dan, 16 years of experience in WNBA, proven experience on the court, we are at a place as an organization where we are ready to kind of turn the corner and fight for a championship. And Dan has that experience.
Great.
You know, do we factor in everything? Of course we do. But I think more globally, in general, you know, of course, you got to take a shot on young women that are trying to get in the business.
So what advice would you give young women who want to pursue a career in business and work towards leadership roles?
Double down on your own strengths and then lift up others. I mean, I really think women have to just dive in, you know, and you hear it all the time. There's kind of this classic anecdote where men will look at a resume and say, or a job description rather, and say, I can do that.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm all in.
Right.
And women are looking at that same job description and get to that one and say, I can't do that. I'll just wait until I develop that skill. Go for it.
That's so true. That's so true.
Go for it. And I love that our men do that.
Yeah.
I love that our young men entering the workforce go, I can do most of that. I'll close the gap. I'm going to double down on my strengths. I'm going to believe in myself. I love that. We're better because men feel that way. Women need to as well.
Yeah.
They need to double down on their strengths. They need to be confident and understand that they're going to add value. And yeah, it hasn't completely opened up into an equal space yet from a business end. It's getting there.
Yeah. And you don't have to be.
And then lift up other people.
Yeah.
Men and women.
You don't have to be perfect at something to do it. And I do. I've heard that before. And my own daughter, who's doing great in the business world right now, and she'll look at a job description. Well, I'm not sure about that. And I go,
go for it.
Every guy I know would say, I could do that.
Yeah, go for
it. I'll do that. You know, whatever. So it's kind of on the job training or being willing to be a little vulnerable out there.
Yes.
At some skills, you know, that you can develop over time, and no one expects you to be perfect right out of the gate. So yeah.
And I think women just kind of, we filter things through different lenses.
Yeah, sure.
So we get into a business space, and you imagine if you, you know. You imagine that if there haven't been a bunch of women before you, you're constantly, you know, you feel the pressure to carry the torch. Put the torch down.
Yeah.
Go kick ass. Double down on your strengths. At the end of the day, forget gender. Your competitive advantage is you.
Yeah.
Whoever you are for a team. I believe that. So you're going to come to the table with different skills. But who are you? That's far more significant than the job description you're trying to fill.
Exactly, yeah.
That's what the company needs. That's what the professional team needs. So my advice wouldn't just be to young women. It'd be to anyone that's entering a new field or anyone that's trying to pivot into, you know, the workforce right now.
Right.
Double down on who you are. That's going to be your competitive advantage. And then be an asset to your team. And you'll be an asset if you know who you are, you know what you bring, and you actually pass the ball when it's not yours.
Yeah, exactly. Bring your special gifts. Realize they could be different than others, so you don't have to judge or compare.
And then lift people up.
And then be a team. Be a team. Yeah, that's great. So other than the Storm winning the championship,
yes.
How would you define success in your position?
You know, I think the WNBA has a unique challenge to find sustainable business models. Mm-hmm. So two very clear goals for me. And they are the North Star. Cut down nets and build a profitable business.
Mm-hmm.
And show that a WNBA team can be that. The rest of it, for me, is what motivates me.
Yeah.
You know, building a team, being a part of a team, doing something that has true impact in a community. Those things motivate me, but ultimately measuring success from the business seat.
Right.
is,
are you bullish on that? Do you think the WNBA can get to that point where
no question. I think we've got to get creative. I think we've got to think about the model differently than, you know, we have six NBA affiliated teams, six independent teams. We've got to think about business a little differently. We've got to move with, you know, social media. We've got to move with the audience and how people want information and how people want to take in our product. But we've definitely, the number one goal is to expose more people to the WNBA.
Yeah.
Because with that, I think there'll be more interest.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. So looking in or hearing about your bio, so you're quite the three-point shooter, I understand, at Chico. You could hit the long ball. You could hit the long ball.
I could. That's,
well, I actually played college basketball,
okay.
too.
Okay. Can you shoot a little bit?
Well, here's the deal. You know how many three-pointers I made? Zero, because I'm so old, we didn't even have a three-point line.
Well, then you blaze the trail.
There you go. There you go. So that's So what other things in business? Now, we've been talking about leadership and business, and so you've described a little bit about what the WNBA has to do. So you specifically, you know, what are you going to try and do to reach those goals we just talked about and reach out? What's your main objective and how do you do that? How do you motivate your team to do that?
You know, I think we're going to look at it holistically, and we're going to talk about basketball, and we're going to talk about the product, the fan experience. I mean, I absolutely, and I know the ownership group feels the same. We want, if you are in Seattle, if you have a family in Seattle, we want you to come in to the Key Arena and watch it. It's going to be a unique experience. Your kids, chances are they're going to be on the court at some point during the night and have a really unique opportunity to get to know the team.
Yeah.
Outside of that and off the court, want to build something special. Want to build a model where we show that professional sports can be at the center of positive social change, positive impact in a community. And a lot of our counterparts are doing some incredible work. But that's what we're aiming to do. How can we partner with organizations all over Seattle and nationally and globally to have a positive impact? How can sports actually be used for good?
Yeah.
How can a for-profit be for good? And the truth is, it's just got to be intentional effort, and it's got to be everybody coming in together, and that's community partners. You know, we've got incredible sponsorships and partners in Seattle. It's our fans who have been with us from the beginning. Get it. And then it's every other channel. And how can we come together, and how can we build something pretty special? So it's fun. I mean, it's sports.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's pretty special that it's having positive impact on the lives of kids, women, across the board.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I think sports just does a society great with that. I mean, if you look at all the times during recession or during times of trouble or whatever, sports still stay strong because that's just something that people can...
People want to be a part of it.
And then you look at kids. I mean, you know, I'm sure you as a young girl and me as a young boy, I mean, we just looked up to those athletes and those teams, and we just, you know, you learn a lot from that modeling, and hopefully the modeling's good.
Yeah, but
you just really learn from that, so that's impressive. So as we wind down here, what we usually do at the end of one of these is say we look for pearls of wisdom. So in relation to leadership, what is your pearl of wisdom that you can share with us?
I mean, I be a good teammate.
Yeah.
Be a good teammate. I mean, in the end, we can all win. We really can. And I think we have a context right now where it's really competitive out there, and not just sports. But in business and in politics, I think there's a pretty aggressive narrative out there. But in the end, and you just said it, people want to be a part of a team.
Yeah.
They want to win together. And double down on that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is it. And I'm not sure it's a pearl of wisdom, but
it's
simple.
It's simple and it's basic, but it's one of those things that isn't done well universally. And so I think you're right, and especially in today's society when we're so polarized over these strong opinions that are often uninformed opinions, and you know, if we just come together and at least work as a team, or at least be willing to say your perspective isn't what I would look at, but I wanted to understand it more. I want to hear more, or convince me why you feel so strong about that, or whatever. So at least we have a discussion, and I think really that's what good teams do, is they have a discussion. They have the ability to sit down and say, I want to understand your opinion before I knock it down, you know,
no
or
question.
Whatever. So, yeah.
I mean, I think you're right. I think it's been, in my journey, I heard or read We often judge others based on their actions and ourselves based on our intentions.
Yeah.
Boy, is that true. And
yeah.
If you just for a second pause and say, what did he or she actually intend? I know how I felt about what happened. But
yeah.
What's his true or her
right.
true intentions? Just the same as I'm going to measure myself based on what I
yeah.
really had hoped for, whether I did it or not. I mean, I think we're going to move in a really positive direction. And you're right. People have differing opinions. That's diversity, though. That's
yeah.
okay.
That's okay.
It's about respect. It's about trust. And in the end, you do not have to lose for me to win.
Yeah.
And I think
that's such a key concept. I mean,
I
just want to.
I believe that
yeah.
deeply.
Yeah.
And that's what, if there's anything that I can share, and it's ironic. Because
yeah.
on the basketball court, there will be a winner and there will be a loser. But
right.
when I take my business off the court, we're going to go for the wins.
Yeah.
When we take it off the court, I actually don't believe that there has to
be
losers.
You look for win-win situations.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
You.
I've really enjoyed
yeah,
talking with you.
Me.
You're a great role model for so many, and we're thrilled
you.
To have you in Seattle, and can't wait for the next season to come along.
Thank you.
So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Profiles in Leadership. You can go to vgmadvantage.com to look at all of our gallery of videos, and also orange.coaching.com as well. So thank you.